You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. I told you it was not gonna be long. Welcome back to another episode of the Chicago Audible. And here we are in the seventh round of the 2019 NFL Draft. The Chicago Bears are currently back on the clock. Pick number 8 in the seventh round, number 222 overall. Guys, we just had about 15 minutes to digest the Duke Shelley pick, and now we're kind of eyeing the seventh round. Nick, I think you said it best about 2 minutes before we went live when you're like, I'm not even going to guess anymore. We're just going to let Ryan Pace do his thing and kind of go from there. Are you still kind of at that mindset?
Absolutely. I closed my draft tracker. I closed best available because, honestly, we have no idea where Ryan Pace is going to go with these two remaining picks. So we'll just, again, do what we do best, kind of diagnose everything on the fly and see what ends up happening.
That sounds about right. So just in case I forgot the intros, which I probably did, but I'm sure you know who we are by now if you've been listening throughout the draft weekend. I'm your host, Will DeWitt. You just heard from Nicholas Moriano, and I'm handing it over to Brandon Hazlett right now. The pick is in. Do you have any guesses? Do you want to take a guess? Do you want to just throw a name and hope for the maybe you can win the lottery today?
Yeah, I'll throw a name out there. I'll say Isaac Nauta, tight end, Georgia.
All right, Bears selection is in. I see it rolling through on my screen. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's still saying Bears selection. That was terrible timing on my part. So you think they're going to go tight end? What if I told you they went running back yet again? We are live, Nick. So the Bears pick here is Kareth White Jr., running back from Florida Atlantic. He was the 2018 second team All-CUSA for kick returner. First player in FAU history to return a kickoff for a touchdown. That's sad. For FAU at least. And then 15 career touchdowns, 11 on the ground, 2 through the air, and 2 as a returner. We're going to learn more about that guy. All that information came through the broadcast here through ESPN. That way, you know, I didn't know all that off the top of my head. There's no way I did. So the Bears went right back to the offense, went right back to the running back position. Nick, what was your response again?
Well, I can't finish that off because I don't know if it get kicked off or I get maybe boot me off. But I'm really surprised that the Bears went. I'm looking at the name here, Kareth White Jr. Okay, yeah, I'm surprised at the pick. The Bears already have 3 running backs, obviously at the position right now. If you want to throw in, I forget his name right now. The one running back that we will not speak
Mizzell?
Of. Mizzell, because he just doesn't do much. So it's a very, very crowded running back room now. I'm not really getting this pick, to be completely honest. I don't know where he's going to fit, why it's being done. They already drafted a running back, and the running back for the Bears, their feature guy. So I don't see what Ryan Pace is doing with this pick, to be completely honest.
Yeah, because I saw like the returning prowess, which I'm like, okay, cool, but Tariq Cohen with punts, that's set. The assumption is Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be the kick returner because he's been pretty prolific at that role throughout his career. So, yeah, this one actually, out of all of them, we've been saying trust it. And again, I mean, they deemed it as a worthy of a pick here in the seventh round. Brandon, do you have any clue as to why?
Actually, it's a funny story. I was trying to prepare in my mind if you were to ask, you know, what position should they take? You know, with your first question, I was going to say, well, not quarterback, not running back, not wide receiver, and they ended up going running back. So to answer your question, no, I have absolutely no clue why they went running back. But from kind of what I'm gathering here, there's a source that's on NFL.com. He says that Singletary, the other running back that came out of FAU this year, drafted yesterday, said that White's a more explosive running back and may end up surprising people. So maybe we did get a steal here. I don't know.
I see that he's on an article from CBS under 10 late round sleepers who will turn out to be awesome value picks. He's on that list. So that's exciting as well. It's interesting because, like you said, Nick, it's a very crowded position, and there's nothing wrong with crowding position because, A, you're going to be able to take the best guy and have competition, and iron sharpens iron, and I can throw a dozen more metaphors there, but I'm sure everybody knows exactly where I'm getting at here. I mean, the more talent you have, the better at any position. You really can't get too good at any one spot, but it just makes you wonder because – I do understand that maybe you can put him on a practice squad for a year, see how Mike Davis turns out, and then he can turn into that third back, or maybe he's like a week-by-week matchup guy where you feel good about his matchups against a specific defense. You can deploy him and put someone else on the active roster or vice versa between the practice squad. So that's where I'm at. I know that's not great. Nick, how about you? Anything further? Have you watched anything?
I'm just starting to watch the film here, just to see what kind of runner he is. But as of right now, I'm just kind of shocked, I guess, at the pick. Again, this actually happened last year when the Bears selected two inside linebackers. I didn't see the need for Joel Iebuniwe, and we're still waiting to see how that's going to work out. But I guess this isn't an uncommon thing for Ryan Pace to do, is to select two players of the same position within the same draft. He's, like I just said, in the last year's draft, he has done it. So again, maybe it is for that Mike Davis role. Trying to feel that out, see where he's at, but they did sign him. I think it was 2 years, $6 million contract, somewhere around those lines. So I think he's here to stay. So you got to wait and see with this guy right now. I mean, doesn't look like the most elusive guy. He runs with a good amount of power, but again,
a good amount of power. I'm watching some of the highlight reel here, and he just runs through guys, but a lot of it's on kick return. So maybe he brings more value to that area that we talked about with the last pick with Duke Shelley. You know, he has some experience there, Duke does. But when I look at Kareth White, I mean, his highlight reel is mostly special teams, which is something that the Bears could use. Obviously, in the third phase, is that guy who's going to flip games and be a stable piece there. So maybe that's something that they looked at him more there rather than a running back.
Well, at his pro day, he ran a 4.3640. That's blazing fast. He had a 42-inch vertical. That's impressive. So obviously you're getting a very twitchy athlete here, and he is 5'10", 197. Yeah, it's funny.
He hits the hole hard. Just watching some of his highlights. He hits that first cut, and he just goes. And that's something, I guess, that, you know, opposite of Tariq Cohen, I guess, is a guy who kind of waits and tries to make that home run play. But White just sees that hole, and I don't think he really cares how big it is. He's just going to go for it. And a lot of times it seems to pay off because he's a powerful runner.
That's good. I can't believe we're only three picks in, and I'm like, oh, God, is 238 up? Because I'm running out of steam already. But it's funny because now we have another K. White back on the team. So that didn't take long to replace one K. White with another. I do, like you mentioned, Brandon, I'm seeing a lot of things here about him, though, that say he does have that outside chance of maybe being a better pro than a Devin Singletary, which, I mean, if you get him here in round 7 and you still have Tariq Cohen and he just drafted David Montgomery, that is very intriguing in terms of the, you know, how those carries or even just touches in general are going to kind of be split up in that backfield. Nick, I want to go back to you. Man, this is when we need like everybody on staff on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just thinking again, this is a team that came into this draft with not a lot of holes, right? So now when you're really just looking to add depth and add more pieces to this team, I guess you could take those risks or those opportunities of just adding more to one position, just kind of stacking it. If the Bears just want to have the best running back room, you know, in the NFL, then you just kind of add another guy like this. I don't know if maybe that creates trade value down the line. Who knows? But I think that you make a pick like this because you already have such little holes to fill on a team. Hey, why not? Let's take this guy. It all goes back to best player available. And when Ryan Pace is looking at, you know, this draft, his draft board being in the 7th round now, seeing, okay, we can get Kareth White because he's just the best player available. Why not take him? And we'll see what ends up happening from there. We'll see what kind of pro he ends up becoming. I guess I'm just still trying to formulate as to, you know, what, why? Why exactly another running back, right?
I think Matt Nagy might have a different T formation line, call it the capital T formation, where they put all the running backs in and Cordarrelle Patterson, because then you don't know who's getting the ball. That'd be really interesting to see.
I don't know who's getting the ball as of today.
That's true.
Seriously, it's very as a defense, you see all these people in the backfield. Who knows? I mean, we saw Charles Leno at a wide receiver, so these guys all could be on the field. Who knows? But it's just an interesting concept to think about moving forward with Matt Nagy's offense.
Absolutely. So I want to know, now that we have, you know, a lot of running backs, who's out? Like, immediately, Mizell, Nall, like, no chance in hell, right? Like, they're going to make this roster?
Correct.
You know, Nall might push for that practice squad spot. He just looks like the stick. He's a fan favorite. Not advocating for him. Not that he's a bad guy or anything. We'll just see what, you know, he brings to the table. But I think those are the two likely guys out of the running back room.
I'll say a little more bluntly, I think those two guys are out. White looks like he's way more of a playmaker than Nall is, or really ever was. So I think that he's at least earned that spot.
Now, one other thing, too, to think about, and we've been talking about the Bears potentially going tight end throughout this draft, and they haven't, and they are down a few bodies there. Maybe there's a shift on this offense where they're going to have less bodies at the tight end position on this roster, and they're going to kind of supplement that with more running backs, which is not something you really see in today's NFL, as that is not a dying position.
A new trend.
We're starting a trend, maybe. Maybe we are starting like a new wave of smaller, speedier.
It's more of those zebra positions.
Yeah, or just a weird combination of 1,000 backs on the on the field at one time. You're going to do, instead of like a 12 personnel, it's going to be like a 0-3 personnel or whatever. It's going to be very interesting to see exactly how this guy unfolds. So, Nick, if you had a look into his rookie year, I wonder with his what it seems like is high potential, if they can stash him on the practice squad, or would that be someone that teams would want to kind of snag? I know they have to put him on their active roster, which is something that you'd have to consider there. I think initially you envision a seventh-round pick at a running back position, especially after you already drafted one in round three that you traded up to get, and you already signed one in free agency. I think practice squad seems like the most likely of situations, but if they do want to carry four backs on the roster, he seems to have the most upside there to do, though. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of upside with this guy just because of what he can do physically. He's got these God-given abilities just to, you know, be able to run fast, jump high, and just be very athletic. So I would say that he does have the most upside. And if the Bears do want to carry – so the Bears might end up carrying one more receiver than they did all of last year, one more running back than they did all of last year. So it's going to be a different roster in terms of what it's going to look like at 53-man roster on game days, just more offensive-oriented. So it is a little different in terms of just going back to last year. So, again, I don't know what to really expect from him. I don't know how much playing time this guy's going to get. But he does have that upside, and he does look like he could be a guy that can produce big plays just from what he brings to the table and what he did in college. So I guess it's still left to be seen, and we'll have to see how Matt Nagy kind of envisions him on this team. And I trust his, you know, his opinion and what he has for his vision, but I just have no idea right now.
All right, Brandon, I'm going to kind of slowly shift this to more bigger picture topics, but first we do need to kind of do some tidying up here. What do you think White's ceiling and floor is going to be? Do you see him? I don't think starter is something that, and again, starter in this Bears offense is something that, especially at running back, may be a very loose term throughout the Matt Nagy era. But do you see, what do you envision being like his peak, and what kind of floor do you see him having as well?
I think we'll see his floor in the first couple of years. The more I kind of sit and stew on this pick, I think it's more of kind of like what we have with Riley Ridley, where it's going to be a more beneficial long-term pick, because Mike Davis signed for 2 years, and after this year, he may get cut because they decide that White's already progressed enough. And I would imagine he's going to stick around, but I think long-term, he could definitely be a starter. But short term, we'll definitely see his floor where he's not going to get a whole lot of playing time. Maybe get some chances at kick or punt return. I think they're really just more looking for that explosive guy there in the short term. So he may get his chance there, and that would be where I really see him, especially long term, but could be a starter on offense, I guess. I know that doesn't really answer the question, but kind of my thought.
Kinda. I mean, again, this is raw. We're figuring it out as we go, Brandon, and that's okay. I really like, again, based off what you guys brought me and what I've been able to find on the fly, as much as my computer browsers are allowing, it's been acting like a slug here in the seventh round. I think it's as tired as my brain might be at this point. But I like that this combination of speed, that 4.36 40 speed, his ability to change direction on a dime, his ability to make people miss, fight through contact, keep his feet. Those are very intriguing intangibles, and even though he was behind Singletary, he was still worthy of a draft pick, and I believe that if he's going to continue to have a smaller role on teams, he doesn't have to be a bell cow by any means. If he can be going out there, being fresh, and utilize his strength, and Matt Nagy is someone who can tailor any play to his strengths to get him out into open space, to get him, you know, maybe catching a quick screen, turning up field, doing his magic against some smaller defenders, or, you know, running a zone and just being able to read it. I don't see too much about his eyes right now, but I do believe that his intangibles in terms of his athleticism and his raw instincts as well as a runner are very intriguing. And again, we didn't really understand why the Bears drafted Tariq Cohen until we did. Maybe this is a very similar situation. Again, Tariq Cohen is a fourth rounder, White's a seventh rounder, but maybe this is a similar situation where right here in April, we're scratching our heads a little bit, but once we get to training camp, someone starts stealing a little bit of the show. Someone starts making those plays that really gets the crowd into it, because that was Tariq Cohen. Like, we had our doubts about Tariq Cohen, and then we went to training camp, saw him in person, and we're like, oh snap, this guy knows how to play. He's for real. And again, maybe White was behind Singletary, so he's overlooked a little bit, but he can have the same sort of impact, maybe not to the same degree, but where I'm standing right now, that's my hope. And maybe it's something that would take a year or two, and then he just bursts onto the scene, but I don't think that really happens too much anymore. I think either you know it or you don't within a year or two. So for me, I'm looking forward to seeing him at training camp, and if he can be as impactful as the few plays I've been able to see so far and what you guys have been able to describe to me, that's very exciting, because we all know that Mike Davis is a third running back, isn't the long-term answer there. And again, even that position isn't a position in which you'd usually find long-term answers. But if you're looking for someone to pair with a David Montgomery, a Tariq Cohen, and together, and have a very young back, and Mike Davis as well, if you're looking for maybe a four, this could be one of the most crowded running back rooms in the entire NFL right now, fighting for touches. And maybe they're going to have like some inner competition as well, really breed some, you know, desire to be great within that room. And maybe they're going to support one another. Don't really care who gets what touches as long as they all succeed. That would be my initial thoughts on all of this, kind of wrapping them up. Nick, how about you?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm watching more highlights, and I'm just one last thing here. He has some good balance. He's a guy that doesn't go down very often when trying to tackle his legs. What was the initial question, though, Will?
We're just kind of wrapping up thoughts here on White. Anything that you have found since? We're going to, not yet, but next we're going to go right back through for grades, as we're trying to kill about 9 more picks before the Bears will go back on the clock.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I mean, I'm still going to stick with my initial thoughts. I'm a little confused, a little hesitant with the pick, but I do see the upside, the athletic ability. And Ryan Pace has been a guy known for that, drafting guys with that athletic ability and moving up to go get those guys. Obviously stayed put here in the seventh round for White here. But we'll have to wait till see what this actually becomes. I'm interested to see, like, when we go to Bourbonnais, in terms of where he's lining up, which offensive unit. Obviously probably going to start with third team. We'll see if he can make his way up, you know, just the draft, or not the draft order, but the positioning order, just to see what he's about. If he impresses in camp, like you mentioned Tariq Cohen did, it could be a good opportunity for him, because nothing's obviously guaranteed for any of these guys. But if he's the guy that shows up, Matt Nagy will get him on the field and utilize him to the best of his abilities.
All right, remember last night? That was last night. Things are starting to blur. When I mentioned that David Montgomery had the most missed tackles per attempt, and he actually broke the record. Mm-hmm. I'm counting down real quick in my head. White is right up there on the list to about 12th, rough, give or take. I'm not going to count one by one. But he's like in that 12th range overall as well. He's ahead of guys like Alexander Mattison. What other some bigger names on there? Kyler Murray. Yeah, okay. And how about Markell Jones, Brandon? Does that name sound right to you? Does that ring a bell?
He's yes, muted, that so. Name sounds very familiar.
Figured it would. Figured it would. Other than that, guys, I think it is time to about hand over grades. But before I do, I want to let you know, looking at PFF's advanced stats, he is the number one running back in terms of a drop rate. He had a 0.0% drop rate. So in other words, he didn't drop a pass. In terms of yards per route run, he was eighth. He was 14th in his elusiveness rating, 17th in his breakaway percentage, 20th in his percentage of not tackled on first contact, which is at 36.1. So over a third of the time, he's not getting taken down by the first player that touches him. That's also very promising. And then the only thing that he's kind of really down on is pass blocking efficiency, which, again, with your seventh round running back, you're not really looking for maybe that aspect of their game. So, Brandon, I'm going to go over to you as we start to wrap this up and start looking at some bigger picture topics about this draft as a whole. What would you grade the Kareth White pick?
Oh, I want to add to your last point. First of all, he did have more receiving yards than rushing yards last year. So that's also something that he brings is that receiving, because you said he didn't drop the ball. So mm-hmm. I just think that's interesting. He's got more yards than rushing yards there too. But I think this is a pick that's more drafted on potential, which when your team is stacked, you take the best player available, the best playmaker out there. And I think that that's what they went out and did. They got Kareth White, who they could look at and go, well, he's kind of Tariq Cohen-esque in the way that he plays. Cuts hard really fast, good in special teams return. So let's try and see if we can get two of them out there. I don't know. That's kind of what, if I'm in the draft room, what I'm looking at if I'm drafting him. So my grade then, you know what, for seventh round, I'll give it a C+ to B-. I think this is just a lot of potential. And he's, I think he's going to have to fight a little bit, especially in his first year, to prove what he's got. Because he's going to have to fight out some other experienced guys that have been in the league and know what it takes. So he's a little on the wrong side of that. So I give it a B-, C+ range.
All right. That was Brandon. Like I said, brain is turning into mush, guys. I love draft weekend. I actually do. It's just been, without the extensive picks, a little bit more difficult. But regardless, I'm not complaining. Nick, how about you?
I'm going to stick with a C- for this one. Look, there's all this upside. He has all the intangibles, has the speed, can jump high, productive. I don't know. I just think it's a very crowded room already. It seemed like David Montgomery was a missing piece at the running back position, and that was it. I don't know what the Bears could have done. Maybe look to a tight end. Obviously, you're going to the seventh round. You're not really expecting these guys. Well, maybe you're expecting these guys to contribute. Obviously, that's why you're drafting them. But usually they don't. That's just not the case with a lot of these late round picks. So because it was a position that the Bears moved up just last night to go get their guy, a running back in David Montgomery, who's going to fit the system perfectly, then you get just another running back, and we'll see what his role end up being. So, but until we see that come to fruition, I'm going to give this a C-. Prove me wrong. I'd be perfectly fine with that, but I'm going to stick with the C- grade.
All right. Brandon, you mentioned that you said he had more receiving yards than yards on the ground. Is that what you said?
That is correct.
Are you sure about this?
I looked at, he's got 160 receiving yards. No, I was looking at his attempts.
Yes. Yes. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, that did not feel right. So I had to go double check. Yeah, he had 160 yards as a receiver, but 866 last year on the ground. He averaged 6.5 yards per carry, which, of course, is very impressive. And on top of that, I did see that he was someone who was able to step up in big games for Florida Atlantic. So for me, if I had to give this a grade, I'm going C+. I really do love the potential that this kid brings to the table. And if this is someone who can end up being a very impactful player with limited touches on this offense, then this is going to be well worth the pick. But when you're looking at other areas of need, offensive line, edge still that we've been talking about all draft, even though I don't think the value is there for edge right now. We talked about that a couple rounds ago, that all the good edge talent is pretty much gone at this point, and they may not be worth a draft pick. But still, it's a little perplexing to go back-to-back running backs. But again, sometimes when things don't make sense instantly, give it some time. When you look back in hindsight, it does kind of make a little bit more sense. And I'm curious to see exactly what the plan is in place, because if you know Ryan Pace and you know Matt Nagy, they have a plan. And the plan for this running back group is going to be one that I, for one, am very excited to watch unfold this year and beyond. All right, guys, we still have about 7 picks to go before the Bears select again. So I don't know what we're going to do, and I'm going to figure this out as we go. I should have came up with, like, we can play, like, an icebreaker game. Nick, do you want to pull up the chat? Maybe if there are some people live who have some couple of questions for us, we can pick a few of those.
And, yeah, we can definitely do that.
And while...
Nick, I'll be the one to break the news that Tommy Sweeney got drafted.
Oh, crap. I wasn't going to let him know.
That was the news that destroyed my day. Tommy Sweeney, just a guy that I watched maybe 5 minutes of and got confused while watching the film, because they also have another big guy tied down on the team. That's disappointing, though, Brandon. I'm sad to hear that.
All right, Brandon, as we're waiting for Nick, and again, if you're listening here live, feel free to throw some questions here in the chat, and Nick, you're going to be able to pick a few of those in just a moment. But while we're waiting for people to think about and submit those questions, I want to know, as of right now, who's been the most surprising pick? And I think we've had it back-to-back. Actually, all night's been, or all last 2 days have been pretty surprising.
They have been surprising. David Montgomery was the only one that wasn't a surprise. Surprised that we traded up. But I'm glad that they did, because they ended up taking Singletary, whoever the team was after the Bears ended up taking him. So the running back market was getting hot there in that pick, so I'm glad they traded up. I think most surprising, though, is still Riley Ridley to me, especially because he's a steal. He was still on the board when he was valued a lot higher. But the room, we talked about the wide receiver room already being crowded. So really just the fact that they took a wide receiver surprises me, because there wasn't much of a need there, but they got a very good quality player out of it, so it's a good surprise pick for me.
Nick, any questions that you want to throw in here?
Yeah, so Shadow 458230 asks, how are we feeling about our tight end position? We were talking about Sweeney, right? That would have been a great, you know, pick. No, just kidding. but I guess I'll give my first take at the tight end position. I think there's room to add, you know, depth at that position. You can't really count on Adam Shaheen right now to be a viable option for the long term, the longevity of the season. And Trey Burton, he did have some stretches during the course of last year where he just disappeared. I think he could still be a great tight end in the system. Really fits. That's why the Bears made a move to go get him. You bring back Brian or Ben Broniker, I think was a good move. But I think there's still room to add, you know, another tight end to this roster.
Yeah, I'm going to second that, because when I'm looking at tight end, again, there's not a lot on here. And Trey Burton is someone who has proven he may not be able to stay healthy. He was impactful last year, but he did have a couple nagging injuries throughout the year. And I'm not really talking about the one against, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles and all that, but I'm talking about throughout the year he had a couple soft tissue nagging injuries. He was able to play through, but just things that kind of come to my mind instantly. Adam Shaheen, we all know, we've talked about this too many times on the podcast, just how big of a question mark he is. And then Broniker he's solid for what he is, but he's not overly great. And I don't know if the Bears need an overly great tight end, but I just think they need more productive body, someone who can be a really good blocker, someone who can be a complement to a Trey Burton, which I guess in theory would be a guy like Adam Shaheen, but that's not really ended up being the case so far. So for me, I would love to see at least one more high potential type of tight end enter this room somehow, either as an undrafted free agent. One of my guys on my short list is still available, Dax Raymond out of Utah State, which I just kind of contradicted myself because I did say I want someone to compliment Trey Burton, not be a Trey Burton kind of mimic. But also, if the Bears are looking for a more, I guess, a younger version of Trey that can end up taking it further if they don't want to re-sign Trey in a couple of years, because again, with this team, contract situations are going to start coming up very soon and some tough decisions are going to have to be made. Maybe that's a guy like Dax Raymond. B, anything you want to add? I think we all agree that tight end is still a quote-unquote need.
Get your brooms out, because we're sweeping that topic. We all need I think we all agree that we need, well, we do all agree that we need a tight end. And like you said, the value isn't really there right now. So I'm not sure who they would really bring in other than Dax. So I will be interested to see what happens, because that's really the last need, I think, that the team has, is just the tight end depth.
Any other questions come through, Nick?
Well, I'm going to have you guys think a little harder on this because we just talked about a need, right? But Cliff Victoria asks, guys, what's the biggest need remaining on the Bears? So let's take this a step further. What would, okay, if you're really looking at this roster, didn't have many holes. What would be maybe the after tight end? I guess I'll start with this. I think you can, again, add some depth at offensive line. It's not like, you know what? Actually, screw it. It's kicker. Come on. We still don't know what the kicker is. We don't know what the Bears have at the kicking position. Obviously they brought in three guys that came, Blewett, Redford, and then, man, I'm forgetting the guy, Elliot Fry, I think is, if that's the last name. So those are three guys. We don't know what those three guys are going to be. And I think I was talking earlier, you know, if Robbie Gould becomes available, trade all three of those guys for one, and then give him this last remaining seventh round draft pick for the 49ers. But we still don't know what that position is. And it is a crucial one. We all know why it is, because of how last season ended. So I think kicker, out of looking at everything that the Bears have holes wise, which is not many at all, I think kicker is still something that needs to be fixed. We'll have to wait till maybe like training camp, see how things go and see how Robbie Gould and that situation ends up in San Francisco. But I'm going to have to go with kicker.
All right. I mean, kicker, I think, is going to be the biggest need by default because of the losing of the game specifically at that position. We still don't really know the answer there, but Brandon, you're wagging your pen.
I just want to play devil's advocate. And I'll say kick returner, because we can't have Tariq Cohen doing punt return and kick return. And kick return was just so, this guy. And then Patterson. Yeah. But
White. Like,
okay. So then I guess we got that solved. So
yes. There we go.
It isn't,
anything else? Do you have any other needs on this team that I could debunk in 2 seconds?
Third string quarterback.
Offensive line. Yeah, I think is another thing that you could add some depth to. But
I figured I Mr. Trenches would go one way or the other there, yeah.
Well, I thought about it, but this year I don't really see much of a need for it. We already have plenty of guards with Sowell in there as well, because he can also catch the ball, so he's also could be that third tight end.
We got the tight end there. He's already on the team.
So really you're just kind of looking into the future, guys that can replace Bobby Massey or Kyle Long at this point.
You know what I'm telling you, what this draft has told me, though? The confidence in Rashad Coward is higher than we think, because
if they
didn't have confidence in him, they would have gone offensive tackle sooner rather than, well, not at all right now. So for me, I'm still looking at, I mean, you can look at safety because of the contract situations, and you don't know how that's going to pan out. But for me, I think defensive line, just like offensive line, you can't have too many good defensive linemen. And I do believe that, you know, Roy Robertson-Harris coming back is good. He's a very solid player, but he's not an overly great player, but maybe he can take a step this year. And I still believe that a lot of people would agree when Don Bullard is still more a disappointment than anything at this point of his career. I really do love Bilal Nichols and what he brings. Eddie Goldman as well, of course, and Akeem Hicks. Even like a guy like Nick Williams to kind of be that backup. But if you're looking to like, for a need overall, I would still look at defensive line to add one more capable body to that rotation, someone that can maybe even edge out a John Bullard or edge out a Nick Williams for that roster spot, because Nick Williams is young, but he's not the youngest. And if you can find guys to kind of take over those roles, for me, that's a plus. And again, you can't have too many good defensive linemen, even if he's sitting on the practice squad or not in the active roster on Sunday, but God forbid you need him in week 12 through week 15, which is a crucial stretch of the season. For me,
you can have too many good offensive or defensive linemen, because Rashad Coward went from defensive line to offensive line.
But was he good on the defensive line?
No, I didn't say he was good. I just said he was on the defensive line.
All right.
Or
Nick,
did I say good? I don't know.
Any others?
Nope.
People don't have many Bears questions at this point. We give them all the answers in the show all the time. So that's what
it
comes down to.
A question that was commonly asked was like our overall grade. And obviously we have one more pick, and I think we want to have some time to diagnose everything to give like that overall grade. Now, unless you guys want to.
We could do it way too early.
It is way too early. We still got four picks to go before the Bears, but hopefully these Florida teams, Miami, Jacksonville, go quickly so then we can get the Bears next and last pick of the draft unless Ryan Pace surprises us and trades into the seventh round, but God forbid he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Nick, I'm curious, out of this entire draft class, which player has the potential to reach the Pro Bowl the fastest or actually has the greatest chance to ever reach it?
I think you got to go with Montgomery just because he's probably going to see the field the most out of any of these guys so far. And just, again, with Matt Nagy's offense, so like we've said in, you know, when he got drafted and we've written a bunch of articles on him, they are going to spread the ball around. But David Montgomery could be a guy that does get, you know, a good amount of those the production that's being spread around throughout the offense. But I think if you're looking at just the potential of who can possibly be the fastest to get to a Pro Bowl or has the most potential to, you have to go with David Montgomery. He has the ability. He's just a very good running back. And I think a big thing that people may not just recognizing that he's going to have a really good offensive line with the Chicago Bears as opposed to what he had with Iowa State. So we could have just saw the floor with David Montgomery and just what he was able to do. Now give him some open space, let him make some people miss, which he's the best, which he was the best at the running back position in college football last year at doing. He could just be getting started, and that would be very exciting for Bears fans to see if David Montgomery's just getting started, which he obviously is being a rookie, but he still can grow into even be a better player, be more productive.
Brandon, is there a player that you feel better about now that you've had time to think about compared to when you first had your initial reaction?
Yeah, I'll say Riley Ridley. I wasn't sure about him, mostly just because we didn't really need a wide receiver, so I was having a hard time figuring out why they even drafted him. But now that we've been able to sit here and digest it, and I said earlier that he was my most surprised pick. I don't remember if that's how it was worded, but regardless, most surprising pick that the Bears have had this year. And I think he's just got a lot of upside, a lot of long-term upside potential. And if he doesn't get out there and play right away, then that's totally fine, as long as he's willing to be patient and realize that he's not going to be an immediate playmaker with Taylor Gabriel, Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller out there. If he's willing to step in and play that fourth wide receiver role, or even fifth if Patterson outdoes him for the fourth there, I think that he's going to be a very good player in the long term because he's got all the intangibles, got good hands, good route running. He's going to do well in this offense.
Nick, I'm curious, what surprised you? I know I asked Brandon what player surprised him, but has anything in general surprised you in this draft one way or another about how Ryan Pace has approached it?
Not necessarily. With him moving up, I was surprised that he moved up to get a running back. I wasn't surprised for him moving up because he has a history of doing it. But moving up for the running back position, and then again, it doesn't really surprise me because that was his guy. So he went and got his guy. But other than that, Ryan Pace did what he always has done, take the best player available. And I think so far he's looking at each where he's drafted each player in every round and saying this is the guy that we want who's going to make the most, benefits for our team overall. So not necessarily. I think Ryan Pace has moved down twice since becoming GM of the Bears in 2015. So maybe like moving back would have surprised me just because he hasn't done it as much as he's moved up, but not really. He's taken players that I think were obviously some needs with running back and I guess the DB, but nothing really was too surprising in this draft. I think overall though, it was different this year as opposed to other years, just not having a first, not having a second, having to wait a little bit, because I feel like this draft, I think you guys can vouch for this too, it's felt like it's been a little drawn out where, you know, now we're waiting for this last pick to finally come in. But I think that's like the biggest difference.
Oh, it's a difference. It's because we're used to, especially like lately, like, oh, we have like 2 fourth rounds and a fifth and then still a sixth. And like to have these long gaps in between picks is it's been very different, to say the least. For me, just a thought on the entire draft is that obviously the Bears are, and I think I talked about this in the last podcast, but the Bears are very content with this defense. Like they really trust in not just the starting caliber players, but the depth behind them as well, because what they're doing is just, you know, just throwing talent into the offensive pool over and over and over again into these skill positions. And on top of maybe their confidence on the defense, the offensive line, which we kind of talked about with Shaq Howard, but I think we can extrapolate that to the entire unit. So for their confidence in all of these units, for me, is exciting because they get to pick, at least earlier in this draft, value guys at some great you know, positions at running back, wide receiver, those very big highlight playmakers that we're hopeful to have here in Chicago. And I'm just excited because Trubisky has a ton of potential. We know that. We've seen him grow so much. But just think about the playmakers that he has compared to when he has a rookie now. Like, think of the wide receiver group. He had nobody. And now the question is, well, who do you not throw to? Like, who do you not have on the field? And that's for every single one, wide receiver, tight end not so much, actually. It's not as strong. So I guess that does go back to that's a weakness. And then running back, like we talked about. There's four very capable running backs right now on this roster. There's like five very capable wide receivers right now on this roster. So Mitchell Trubisky has tremendous support around him. He has a great starting offensive line and in reserves who can play in without much of a drop-off in play. So for me, my overall just thoughts on this draft as we've gone about it is that they're just doing everything they can to support Mitchell Trubisky with as much talent, playmaking ability as humanly possible to give that kid every ounce of, every situation, I guess, or every opportunity to succeed as the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. And it really does seem like they have some contingency plans in place. If player A doesn't work out, well, we still got player B, or if B, we have C. So if Mike Davis doesn't pan out like we thought, well, that's why we brought in White, because he can fulfill that role as well. So for me, a lot of smart moves here, maybe not what we thought were true needs. But again, we all offseason, we have said we're using the term need lightly. So Ryan Pace doesn't believe there are many needs as well, and he's able to supplement, go best player available, and get his guys. Well, I just had a long monologue hoping that would kill some time, and the Seahawks are still on the clock after trading up over Jacksonville. So they really have milked this, as we've been talking about, drawing out the draft.
It's all about those TV ratings. Draw it out, just like how it's felt for our draft this year. The Bears, obviously we talked about it, but I guess going back to another surprise, remember, I guess coming into this draft, it was almost seen as being more of a defensive oriented, a stronger defensive draft as opposed to being a stronger offensive draft. Look at what the Bears have done so far. Mm-hmm. You go running back, you go wide receiver, then you go corner, and then you go back to running back. So they've definitely
really look at too, though, with that being such a defensive heavy draft, guys were falling to the Bears. Montgomery, Ridley, who, you know, Ridley wasn't even supposed to be on the board at that point. So it's almost a good thing for the Bears offense this year. And I think Pace attacked it smartly. Didn't even, you know, I would have never thought to, you know, with all this defensive talent, I'd have been taking defense too. But I think he was smart in taking some of the best available offensive players because they were falling to him. So why not?
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
That's very true.
About it, you know? Then obviously a very good job of it so far since coming here in 2015. But yeah, I have a feeling it's defense. So this last pick, what are you guys thinking? Defense or offense? Yeah. Last pick,
kicker. I don't know who they would go here. I think they can get anyone now besides Matt Gay, who was drafted, but it can get anyone as an undrafted free agent. Bring them all in, like I said. Bring them all in. I don't care if you have 20 kickers. Just have a field dedicated to kicking and split it up into two, and just let them go to town between now, rookie OTAs, rookie mini camp, training camp. Heck, go to the first training camp game with 20 kickers. Really do it. I don't think you can. I think you have a limit, of course. But that would be pretty funny. Like, every opportunity, just have them, you try an extra point, and you kick the ball off. All right, Bears pick is in, though. So we finally made it, guys. We finally made it. Sweet. Waiting for the name to come up. I'm going to say, honestly, I think they go back offense, and it's going to be offensive line. I think that, I don't know, it feels like they're not going defense. And I feel like the one guy they went defense, they kind of went up for it. Maybe it's a tight end. Maybe it's the guy. I forgot. I had my guy in there.
Dax.
Yeah. So maybe it's that. What's his name again? It's my guy. I don't have my notes.
Dax
in front
Redmond.
Of me. Raymond. Was it Raymond?
Was it Raymond?
No, there's one that I was like,
because everybody loved Raymond.
Everybody loved Raymond, exactly. That's where I was going for. Still waiting for the Bears pick to finally come across the ticker here. So, B, this is your last chance. Who's it going to be?
Well, so my guy's already off the board. The other tight end that I wanted, I don't even remember who it was at this point now. They're going to go offense. They're going to go tackle. Let me see if I can find a name real fast.
You don't need to find a name. It's coming across now. You're fine. Bear selection.
Tackle.
Who is it?
Oh, I got to use this at least once, though, right? I made it, and it's been sitting here, and I keep forgetting. So the Bear selection, as we still await, waiting. All right. So with the 238th pick of the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Stephen Denmark, cornerback, Valdosta State, Georgia. Small school, Ryan Pace at it again. I have no clue who this guy is, which we already knew that was coming. So no surprises here besides the surprise of not knowing exactly who this is. So as we're looking up this cornerback from a very...
Know how to spell his last name.
I'm waiting for it to come on ESPN over here on the ticker. All right, so we have a cornerback. Went back to back here. Well, not back to back, but back off and back on cornerback.
Wow. Okay, so here's some of his pro day numbers. He showcased a 4.4 in the 40-yard dash, a 43.5-inch vertical.
Okay.
He measured in at 6'3", 220 pounds.
Oh, an athlete on 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Interesting.
So this is the eventual, if Kevin Tolliver doesn't pan out, Prince Mukamara replacement.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking, because boy, does he have the size. Play that outside corner.
Yeah, so with those guys, these taller cornerbacks, you definitely want to see their flexibility with moving their hips and just being able to mirror other receivers, because obviously you can have all the intangibles, but if you can't, they're moving backwards. Remember, this guy's cornerback, so they got to be able to move and mirror the wide receivers. But, wow, yeah, he definitely impresses with the numbers there. I'm going to see if, again, we'll see if we can watch some film of where did he go again? Stephen Denmark,
Valdosta State.
All right. This is like some,
you're not going to find much in the turnover department. Only had two interceptions throughout his entire career. Only one of them came last year. The other one came in 2015. So he missed here. He missed 2017. Fun fact. I wonder why that is.
Well, that's what we have to go find out. The search is on.
No way. Did he? I think from what I'm watching on YouTube here, I think he put his own like tape out there for his own highlights and stuff. And I don't know if this is correct. It's saying that I played wide receiver my first 3 years of college, made the switch to defensive back going into spring ball my senior year.
Interesting.
Interesting. That's why he's got receiving stats on his bio. I was really confused.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But he seems to be a pretty good wide receiver, too. So he must have, well, he's obviously got hands if he played wide receiver his first few years. But he had 22 receptions for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns in 2016. Must have made the switch in 2017 to defense. And that's why he didn't play.
Yeah. So, looks like on this YouTube video that I'm watching here. He accomplishments he has just in some bullet points: second team All Gulf South Conference, second team Super Region 2, 2018 GSC champion, and 2018 national champion. So Ryan Pace really dug deep for this one, but he went to go get a guy who obviously has the upside with the physical abilities, but is also somebody that has reached success, has had success happen before. So I think that's always a smart move whenever, I don't know what the process is when trying to go and scout these smaller school guys, but that can definitely be an option, knowing, hey, this guy's, he's won before, and he was obviously probably out competing the competition at this level. But that, those are probably some factors that you look into as a scout, as a GM, as a team, when trying to find the diamond in the rough with these lower school guys.
I mean, that's what you're doing here. You're getting the combination of size and speed and athletic ability. Someone who's very raw, but someone who potentially has, you know, the abilities to translate it to the NFL and become, like you just said, diamond in the rough. And I believe that this is just someone that they would love to take a chance on. And that's what they're doing here. Ryan Pace loves giving these small school guys an opportunity to shine and to prove themselves. And if he put on his own tape to do that, that's an incredible story. Like, no one's looking at me. Here's my tape. Come find me. I think I'm worthy of playing in the NFL. And the Bears just gave him that chance with the 238th pick of the 2019 draft. So for me, that's an incredible story. If he finds his way in the playing field this year or even in the year after, I already am in love with his story. Switching positions, having to do some self-promotion, which in today's social media age, that's what it's all about. Getting yourself noticed, getting yourself out there. So for me, again, I see here, you know, you see 6'3", I see 6'2", I see reports of 6'4", so he's probably 6'3". If you had to, like, you know, do the mean or the average here between all three of those. But again, size, speed, athleticism, small school guy, it just smells like Ryan Pace, guys.
It really does. And I also want to add, too, he also ran track, so that's kind of cool. But one of the questions I'm reading in this interview, they asked him, you know, why should a team use one of their draft picks on you? It sounds like he's a guy that's really on the rise. He says he's an excellent athlete, as we can tell with his 40-yard time, his vertical, really everything that he's done so far, just a raw athlete. He says he can't wait to come in and work hard, going to put my head down and get to work, have great ball skills, and my best football still in front of me. Going to be a great team player, which sounds exactly cut and paste what Ryan Pace wants.
Yeah, and then the fact that he played receiver and went to DB, I mean, the hands, I mean, you don't have to worry about that. If he can get the instincts to be at the right place at the right time, I mean, he obviously will have the hand skills to haul in those passes.
Man, I'm seeing, obviously, transitioning to corner from wide receiver. It's a process. It's going to take time. But just watching the film, what he's doing right here, he's coming off these blocks, and he's hitting pretty hard, taking out these offensive players. They're doing some flips as he's hitting them. And he's just getting into the backfield quick, obviously just having that speed that he has. So, again, all on the upside, he's still a very raw player, but you get him with Chuck Pagano, a guy that's going to work him, try to get the best out of him. We'll see if he's up to that task, being obviously a seventh-round draft pick. Nothing's guaranteed at this point, but he just has a feel for when the ball's in the air, he's now the receiver, going back to his, you know, first position, just turning around, high-pointing the ball, and making a play. You know, this is a guy, like you said, Will, when you put your tape out there, this is the guy you root for. This is the guy that you want to have success. Obviously, probably his dream to always want to play in the NFL and doing anything he can, putting his own film out there on YouTube to do it. This is a guy, when it comes to training camp, I'm going to circle him, see what jersey number he'll end up wearing, be like, all right, regardless of what's happening, I'm, you know, hoping for the best for this guy so he can find maybe a place on this Bears team. But, yeah, this is a guy that you can easily root for, and hopefully it just turns out to be the best-case scenario for him.
And, I mean, he's very, like, I love this, like, how he responds. I'm looking through an interview he had on the Draft Wire, and he's just talking about, like, so the question was, like, so what do you think? You know, you play a small school D2. What should people know about that? And he's, like, talking the D2 up. He's like, there's actually some great athletes there. I played along some really good athletes at this level. So it's not, you know, a place where just a lot of, well, you know, average players go. There are some really good talent at this level, and I played with and against them. So, like, he's someone who can talk himself up, and he's also, you know, being very respectful to the other, you know, the talent that he's going up against, because there are some of those people who, you know, from D2 or smaller schools who will just be like, yeah, the talent level isn't there, but, you know, it's going to be a big jump, but he's talking them up. So, for me, it's just another testament to his character right now.
And I love the picture on that article, too, of him, you know, lining up against the receiver, and he's got to, like, kind of squat down to get to eye level with the receiver. I think that's kind of funny.
You're right. You're right. So, all right. I mean, I don't think we need to do a crazy amount of digging here on him, because he is a smaller school prospect. Not saying because he's a small school prospect, but the things that we're going to find, it's going to be very difficult to find here on the fly in order to do that. So, for me, again, I'm going to go ahead and just begin grading this pick. I believe secondary overall is a position of need. I was targeting a bigger cornerback in this draft because I believe that's an area where the Bears do need one. They did go earlier with a smaller guy in Duke Shelley. Yes. Look at me. I remember the name. And now they're going with the bigger guy, someone who can take his time, develop at the pro level, and potentially, again, take over or become a starter here for the Chicago Bears or in this league. So for me, really love the Bears giving this guy a chance. I'm going to give that overall, I'm going to give it a B+. Actually, I'm just going to give it an A- because it sounds like I already like this kid. So I'm going to give it an A- just for the fact that I think he's a really he has a level head on his shoulders. He's someone who is really wanting a chance. And when you bring players on who are very hungry and very humble and they just want to prove themselves, that is a great combination. Usually good things follow. So for me, I'm going to give this one an A-. Secondary overall was still a small need, need lightly. But for me, I'm going to give this an A-. I don't know who else he would have gotten at this point. And every time Ryan Pace takes someone from a small school, good things usually follow. So for me, I like it. So Nick, how about you? What's going to be your grade for this pick?
Yeah, I'm just watching the film. He's impressing me with what he's doing here. I'm going to give this a B. I think that I don't know if he might actually stick at corner. Maybe you can also see him at maybe that strong safety role, just with the size that he has and what he can bring at that position, because he's still transitioning with the position that he's at now and trying to figure things out. But I think that just with his story, what he seems to be about, what he's doing on the field to at these two schools, I like what he brings. So I'm going to give this a solid B. We don't know if he's going to end up panning out, but we're hoping for the best. And he does have ability, that's for sure. We'll just have to see if that can translate at the NFL level. But I guess we'll get firsthand view of that at training camp this year.
B, how about yourself?
I'm going to stick with Nick and give it a solid B, because this is just a Ryan Pace guy. So much upside, so much athleticism, a guy that's 6'3", runs a 4'4", a 43.5-inch vertical. I mean, they can shape him into whatever he wants at whatever position he wants, because he's got experience at corner, he's got experience as receiver, and it'd probably be a little bit easier to transition and take him to safety, like Nick was saying. So there's just so many options that you could have with this guy. And I like this guy, this pick a lot. I think an A is a little bit of a stretch, because that was my initial thought, was an A. He's just got so much you could do with him, you know, but he's got to be able to show it on the field too. So I'm going to give it a solid B for right now.
This is one of those players that, you know, we're going to be paying attention to, like, well, everything at training camp. You know, we really do. I think we do a great job tooting our own horn there, guys. But this is one of those guys that you want to just kind of peek at once in a while. Like, hey, how's he doing? How's he holding up? How's he transitioning? Kind of like John Franklin last year. How's he doing with that transition? Mm-hmm. And this is kind of has the same feel to it. So honestly, right now, it feels like it's a battle between those two for that roster spot, or at least practice squad spot. Maybe you have room for both. Maybe you don't. But as of right now, I mean, that's what it feels like to me. So John Franklin III versus Steven Denmark for that next spot here on the practice squad, or maybe the bottom end of that cornerback roster. All right, guys, any final thoughts as we conclude our draft coverage for 2019? It's been a lot of fun doing these over the years, and even though I would say we had more, quote, fun in years past because of the higher picks, picking in the top 5, picking in the top 10, I think we are all in agreement that it's much better to wait to round 3. Well, maybe not every year, but Khalil Maxwell worth it this year. But much more waiting and picking later in the rounds because of the success that means on Sundays, right?
Absolutely. Correct.
All right, well, I'm going to call that a draft, guys. Well done to everyone around. I want to thank for everyone who was watching live. I want to thank to everyone who's been listening to the podcast throughout the weekend. Thanks to both Brandon and Nick for taking a lot of their time between Thursday night. We even stay here on Thursday night, guys. I don't know if you know that, but we did stay here on Thursday night just in case of the Bears having the ability to trade up into that first round. I think I told them I give it a 0.006% chance, but if we didn't show up, Ryan Pace was going to do it. So we just sat here anyway, just in case. And then to Steve Letizia and Will Ingles for hopping on here, assisting us as well throughout the draft weekend. So I'm Eros Wildewit. I'm going to be signing off. So on behalf of everybody here at the Chicago Audible, I really do hope that you appreciated our coverage throughout the weekend. We'll be back later this week with a little bit more of a, how do I want to frame it? More of a fresh mind on this, with some time to stew on it a little bit, talk about the draft, and it's almost time to start looking ahead to training camp. Countdown to camp will begin here in just a couple of weeks. Lots of Bears coverage coming your way between now and then, but until next time, Bear Down, Chicago. Bear Down!